Our scripture verse this morning is Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Let's hear God's word. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" And Cain replied, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come now and ask that you would feed us with your word and that we would grow in knowledge and in grace of Jesus Christ, which in his name we pray. Amen. The goal of any athlete is to get better. If you're going to win the championship, if you're going to earn the gold medal, then you continually have to get better because the competition is really steep. The athlete does not try to get better. Then instead of progression, there will be digression in his abilities. So it is with people. Some people know Christ, some people do not. In the parable of the sower and the seed, what was common about all the seed that was thrown onto the good ground was that they produced, they multiplied, they produced a harvest. It wasn't all the same. Some produced tenfold, some produced 50-fold, some produced 100-fold. It wasn't all the same, but the lesson that Jesus has for us in that parable is that God's people are not idle. We're not idle. Through the Holy Spirit, we are called to be sanctified. We are called to get better at being like Christ. We are a holy bride, and we are being prepared for a holy bridegroom. And this preparation is done through the ministry of the Word, Sunday school, worship, home devotion. Faith grows with the Word, with the ministry of the Word. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. And you are not a Christian if you are not growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is one of the mistakes that so many people make about Christianity. They think, all I've got to do is walk down the aisle and ask God to forgive me of my sins, and then The next big thing is, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. It's a mistake to think that. Because the scriptures are very clear that though you are called to be justified under Christ, you are also called to be sanctified under Christ. You are called to not remain what you are when you become a Christian, but you're called to become more and more like Jesus Christ. A true Christian must be sanctified, changing from a life of sin to a life of holiness. You think back of when you first became a Christian. Okay, you become a Christian. Now, how many of y'all stopped sinning when you became a Christian? None of you. Nobody. No, you're justified in Christ. But then comes the rest of your life of being sanctified in Christ, of being changed into the likeness of the human nature of Christ. When Joshua and the Israelite army entered into Canaan to claim the land, God had already said to them, "It's your land. I'm giving it to you. Now go get it. Go take it." See, God had already said, "It's your land. I'm giving it to you." But then he calls them, "Now you got to go get it." See, when you're called to be a Christian, when you're called to be justified in Christ, that's not the end of the situation. But you see, there are Canaanites in your heart. Canaanites that are going to war against the Holy Spirit. And through the ministry of the Word, through preaching, through devotion, through Sunday school, those Canaanites are put down. There has to be change. Like a caterpillar wraps itself in a cocoon and is changed into a butterfly, a Christian is wrapped in the Holy Spirit and is changed into the likeness of Jesus. That's why Paul, when he writes the Thessalonians, he says, "God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth." You've got to be sanctified, and you will be sanctified through the Holy Spirit working in conjunction with the Word. The writer to Hebrews says, "Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." When you became a Christian, you weren't living a holy life. No. And if anybody in here says, "Oh, I was," then we know that you weren't, because you're a liar. But we are called to sanctification. We are called to participate in the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it without the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit chooses to use you, using the Word, to change your life. It is a progressive work. And it's all your life. It's all your life. You know, when in the Bible, when it talks about so-and-so died, and it says that they have peace and that their works are complete, that means their work of sanctification. But there's also a digressive work, and it involves sin. You know, sin is never idle. Sin is not progressive, it is digressive. You go from something bad to something worse, and that negative grows more negative. Once a person allows sin in their life, when they become comfortable with sin in their life, they start to change as well. But they go from bad to worse. There is a downward spiral, like water in a tub. You know, it comes down to the drain and it spirals around and it goes down. That's what sin does to us. We're spiraling around and we go down further and we go down further and we go down further until we die, and then it's too late to change then. For sin is digressive. Like a person caught in a well, their weight naturally pulls them down. So a person's sin naturally pulls them down and away from God. Thus, when Cain refused to heed the gospel message that God laid before him, he added sin upon sin. Look at this. God brought the gospel message to Cain. He brought the gospel message to Cain. I don't know about you, but if God came to me and said, "Sit down here, boy. I'm going to talk to you a minute. Now, you need to trust in the Redeemer that I'm sending from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. You need to trust Him and you need to turn away from sin." If God said that to me, I would be so scared not to do what He said. But not Cain. Cain heard the gospel that God Himself brought to Cain. And then Cain leaves that meeting thinking, "How can I get rid of my brother Abel?" Sin produces more sin, which produces more sin. You spiral down. God said to Cain, "If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Here again, God is warning Cain. He is warning Cain of the consequences. Cain ignores it. He rejects it. And we see how sin spirals down into the life of Cain, and he goes from bad to worse. And after he kills Abel, God asks Cain, "Where's your brother?" Cain responds by saying, "Am I my brother's keeper? Once again, you see, he's going from one sin to another sin, to another sin, to another sin. And he is being conformed not to the image of Christ, but he's being conformed to the image of the devil. And the scriptures say that the devil was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And here, Cain is also a murderer and a liar. Cain, in his hostility towards God, begins to take on the characteristics of the devil. As John the Apostle wrote, Cain belonged to the evil one. Sin did not remain idle in Cain's life. And my friend, let me tell you, sin will not remain idle in your life either. Oh, you may come to church, you may come to Sunday school, but sin is still crouching at your door. And you must believe the gospel message about Jesus Christ. You must put on the full armor of God. Think about the life of King David. King David did not resist the lust in his heart. His lust led him to adultery. His adultery led him to murder. The progression of David's sin was only brought to a halt by the grace of God when God himself confronted David with the prophet Nathan. And the word of God led David to repentance. David writes in Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions." You see how he was spiraling down, how his sin was causing him to become more and more sinful, to go from bad to worse. But Jesus Christ stepped in. God stepped in and confronted David through the prophet Nathan. And David repented. Like a drowning swimmer pulls another swimmer down with him, sin will pull you down further and further and further. And you will be lost unless you're stopped by the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And my friend, let me tell you, you must come to Christ today. You cannot wait till tomorrow. Oh, there's some things that you can wait till tomorrow. Maybe you've got an errand to run. You do that. Or maybe you turned out that you can't go on Monday, so I'll go on Tuesday. There are some things that can be put off for a little bit. But not receiving Jesus Christ. Wonder if you said, "Oh, I'm going to believe in Christ and trust him, but not just yet." What are you going to say then if that very day your life is required of you, that you stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Are you going to say, "Well, you know, I was going to do that on Wednesday"? You must come to him today. If you do not come to Christ, your life is going to spiral down more and more and more. There will be that work of digression. The Holy Spirit and your sinful heart are battling one another. You must believe the gospel. You must come to Christ. There is progression. There is digression. Let the Holy Spirit apply the word to you. Open up your heart. Receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come before you and we pray, heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit would open up our hearts, that we would receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, do not let us put this off for another day, but help us to see the importance of being right with you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.